Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hey, everybody, it's Devin.
And Kate.
Welcome to Med Crimes.
Break Room Banter.
Break Room Banter.
Love it.
So, guys, we decided that it's our last episode of season two, and we're about to take our annual holiday hiatus. We're not going to go heavy.
Nope.
We just need some light heart banter that you guys say that you love from us. If this is not your thing, then
you
go
can,
ahead. See you in season
us.
Three.
You can
That's
join
fine.
Us in January. It's
That's
all
fine.
Good.
We'll see you then. But
this
I just got to say, okay? It's what, mid-November now? Thanksgiving
yeah.
next week? Mm-hmm. Like, I come to Kate's house. She's still sipping out of her bat mug. Me, however, I'm once again in my Christmas amusement park sweatshirt.
Oh my God, you are. I was just going to say Santa's Village on a sweatshirt.
And have you seen my Christmas leggings?
Oh my God, no, I didn't, Devin. I didn't look down. I just looked,
yeah,
I just met your
I'm
eyes.
I'm in some Christmas leggings.
Okay.
And at the top here, there's a wine glass with a Santa hat on it.
Psh.
Yeah. Anyway, it's time to let the fat man out and put the bat back in.
No.
Just saying.
So I like just barely wrapped up my Halloween stuff and I'm still like not okay about it. Like it's still a big problem. I do still have pumpkins on my porch. They will be there until they rot.
Mine were pretty much almost rotten before Halloween.
Mm. We carved brand new ones right before Halloween because the ones we had out there, like, that we carved in, I don't know, September.
Not good.
I like to extend spooky season by an extra month. I don't know if anybody else is on that page, but that's me.
Kate and I were just discussing how at my house this morning, you know, you have like, you know, your marriage is pretty good if you decide that you were having an argument. Probably, you know, the only argument you've had in about a month, and it's about how to connect and string up the Christmas lights.
I mean,
we each had a very valid heated opinion on how this should have been done.
We were both right. Let the record reflect.
We were both right.
Love
it's
you,
just
David. One of those things when you're married for a long time, though, you know that. It's you're not fighting about anything serious. It's just,
nope.
You know, you get under your partner's skin about little things, and it happens all the time. I was just saying, Devin, that is, it's so funny you said that because, I mean, yearly when we are putting up our Christmas tree that we go usually cut down or buy, and we put up a real Christmas tree, and then we're stringing up lights, it's, no, don't pass it there, pass it through here. You know, we're passing it around the tree trying to, like, get the lights around, and you know, I'm like, you're clumping the ornaments together. And like, you know, it's like, can't we just be happy and play Christmas
I remember
music?
When I met my husband that I was like, one of the things that I loved most about him that I learned early on because of the time of year that we met and whatnot mm-hmm. is how much he loved Christmas. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, this is in the yes column, right? Like his passion for Christmas.
Well, yeah.
But now that
obsessed.
It's equal to mine. We both get just as opinionated
you
on how things should be done.
Have very strong vision. And
yes.
You have to find a happy medium that reflects your vision and his vision. I get it.
Yep.
I love it.
We found it. You know why? Because I let him have his way this morning.
And that's okay.
Next
that's
time it'll be
marriage,
my turn.
Next time it'll be your turn. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what marriage is all about. Anyway.
Yeah. Cheers.
Yes. Cheers to
Cheers.
That. You guys, we have stuff to talk about because not only do we have a few listener stories, which I'm really psyched to get to, but we wanted to give you just like a little bit of an update on some changes that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And the Patreons are getting a front row seat, P.S. So
yes, you are.
Even though we're taking a little bit of a break, if you want to participate and talk to us a little bit more, engage with us more, and know exactly what's going on as it happens, feel free to join, because you guys get behind the scenes action, step-by-step videos. It's going to be awesome.
We will still be engaged on our socials throughout the next 6-8 weeks, but the Patreons are going to get the details.
They get the deets.
They're going to get the details because it's because of them as to why we're going to the next step.
Additionally, right now there is a vote underway for our season 3 opener. So we've decided that we want to open with another big, fat, juicy series because you guys really like those big series. At least
juicy.
That's what, yes. Thank you, Devin. Because people seem to like them. So we are choosing between 4 really big, hefty cases. And if you are interested in casting a vote, another way to do that is to become a Patreon.
Yeah.
Bam.
Bam. As soon as you sign up to become a Patreon, whether we're on hiatus or not, you will get all this content. You'll get the right to vote because we're not starting again till January. So who knows when we're going to decide out of those 4.
Exactly. I mean,
it could be.
I'm going to keep it open for a while because not everybody always logs in. Some people vote right away, but we always get like stragglers. So I'm going to keep, we've got lots of time. We're going to keep it open for a while. So go ahead and join.
So do we tell people what's coming?
Yeah.
Oh, me?
Yeah, you. Oh. Fuck yeah, you.
Okay. In an effort to every year, every season, bring something a little bit new, show our growth. When we come back for season 3, we will be launching the Med Crimes YouTube channel.
We are so psyched for this. We've talked about it for years, and we have felt that we haven't really been ready and haven't really had the listenership or the bandwidth to do it.
Right.
But I think the time is right now. We've had so much growth and there's, you know, so much more potential to bring you guys, you know, more content, a little bit more of an inside look into our lives. And with that comes a Pod Lab makeover. We're going to have a whole video studio. Thank you, Patreons. We would never, ever, ever have been able to do this without you guys' support. And
it's all because of you. It's all
literally
because of you.
All because of you. And of course, you know, our listeners that tune in every 2 weeks and subscribe
of course,
to everybody.
We'd have our Patreons, but if we didn't have the almost 10,000 subscribers that we have, we wouldn't be thinking about doing this. It wouldn't be the right time.
So we are super psyched about that. Another thing that's coming down the road is some new merch.
Ba-da-bong.
We've got some designs in the works, and we're going to have some new things.
Which means new giveaways.
Yeah, new giveaways.
New giveaways.
It's going to be great. We're going to do at least one giveaway over our little break.
Yes,
also,
we are.
Just to say thank you.
Yes.
So we're psyched about that.
You know, so along with the Pod Lab makeover also comes like a Devin Step Up Your Game makeover, because this is the last time that we'll be recording an episode that I can look not presentable for.
That's the same. I have bags under my eyes. My hair is askew. But we are going to have to be fucking presentable.
I know.
We are going to have to like look somewhat not zombies, which
it's going
to
be
know.
Fun on the nights we do this at 10 o'clock.
Oof. Anyway, it's for you guys. This is
it's
why
all
we do
for
this
you.
For you. We want to look beautiful for you.
The camera will be on us.
Mm-hmm. And we know you're going to be watching and we want to look cute for you.
Yes.
That's
yes,
what's happening
you.
With that.
So speaking of, we have one person added to our Patreon list
we
this
sure
week.
Do.
So
Let's
Kate's
going to
pull it up.
Yes, we are. And this person joined at a great time. They joined right after I had posted about doing that vote. So she just like jumped right on that bandwagon. And her name is Patricia Cook.
Patricia Cook, welcome to the family. You snuck on just in time.
Literally just in time.
Will you cook me food?
Will you cook me food?
I mean,
would you please?
That would be awesome.
So you know what I've decided, Patricia, actually just now in this moment, this is the woodland creature you are. You get your very own because you joined at the right time.
Nice.
You snuck in there under the wire.
That a girl.
And you know from Sleeping Beauty.
Yeah.
Like the cartoon. You know that there are three little fairy ladies.
Godmothers.
Like, yeah. Is that what they are? The godmothers? It's been so long. My kids don't like that one as much, so I haven't watched it like recently.
I think they're 3 fairy godmothers.
They like
someone
watch,
tell me if I'm wrong.
They like watch over Aurora, right? And like raise her essentially when she's like abandoned in the woods or whatever.
Okay, so she's them.
Yeah, you're them or one of them or all of them.
Patty, you are amazing enough to be three fairy godmothers.
We love you, Patricia Cook.
And I say, Patty, do you like being called Patty?
Are you a Patricia or a Patty?
Let me know.
Okay.
With that, this is a full-on banter episode, folks.
This is happening.
So we told you, if it's not your thing, we'll see you in January.
Yep, we'll see you in January. No biggie.
No biggie.
It's all good. So in the past, we've done these, you know, little microdose episodes that bring us the more current events, a lot of which we've kind of like left you hanging with, and we never actually gave you much of an update.
Because we're only giving you what we know.
And so we wanted to streamline how we give you guys information on the newer stuff and the more current events that are happening in the media. So, and we also are responding to the constant request for more content, do things frequently, because we know that you guys just
want
to hear from
us. We would love nothing more.
We would love nothing more.
And so, I think we will one day.
Yeah.
If and when the podcast ever can compare to the incomes that Kate and I make.
Yes. If we can ever step away from our current incomes.
If that ever happens, then hey. You know
we
what?
Will publish an episode every goddamn day.
New full-time job.
Yes, new full-time job. Podcaster. Oh, I love that.
I think when we started season two, remember? Mm-hmm. I had said, I can't do this show and be an interim director of nursing.
Oh, you can, though. You can be an actual director of nursing.
By the end of season two, guess what? Yours truly is an actual director of nursing.
Which, can we take a minute and appreciate the fact that Devin has had a lot of like career changes and personal changes in the past over this whole season and has worked so hard and has
made this
incredible like leap of faith change in her life, and she is now a fucking boss bitch. I mean, she was always been a boss bitch, but now
it's like in the title,
a director of nursing. She is directing that shit.
Yes.
And
much respect to the director of nursing pool out there because it's not an easy job. It's not an easy job.
It's a lifestyle.
I hope you have a team behind you like I do because I have a wonderful team. And I hope you have the support like I have to be able to take the leap of faith and just say, maybe it's time.
It's an amazing opportunity and it's an amazing thing that she's doing, and she works so hard and she is like so good at it. I can't think of anybody else who would do that better.
I wasn't prepared for like boasting Devin moment. So thank you.
No one has to be prepared. You just have to sit there and take it like a champ.
I'll try.
Okay.
I'm not good at that part.
She might be crying. It's fine. So anyway, what we wanted to do to sort of streamline that a little bit and bring the newsworthy stuff is once a month, we are going to bring you a MedCrimes news bulletin.
Yay!
Where we are going to review the latest cases that are maybe circulating in the media and follow them until completion. Once a month, every month, you're going to get an update on all those cases with a MedCrimes news bulletin. So that's an addition to our twice monthly case studies that we do. We're going to do a news bulletin.
See, we're bringing you stuff that we can.
News stuff.
We know you want more, and we're trying.
We are literally.
We try so hard.
We try so hard, you guys.
We try so hard. And we appreciate, though I'm sure you are disappointed that we're taking a hiatus, we really appreciate your support through it, knowing, again, how much we love this show, have the demanding full-time jobs, and want to savor the holiday season with our families while our littles are so young.
Right. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. We're at a good point.
Story number one.
Okay. We are going to get to the stories. So the first story that I have, so she included a pronunciation of her first name.
I love that.
Which I'm assuming means, yes, please say my name. She is Aubrey from Minnesota. So Aubrey from Minnesota, here we go. I'm a criminal psych nurse, so true crime is right up my alley. I came across your podcast, and I am hooked. You've asked for crazy stories, and while this isn't particularly creepy or scary, it's a, quote, what the fuck moment, end quote, if you will. I'm working in a facility that provides care and treatment to mentally ill people that have been committed by the court system. like those cases you've talked about where the criminal gets a not guilty by reason of insanity conviction, or the ones that aren't competent to stand trial. We have dealt with everything from the criminal that puts on a show to look insane to paranoid schizophrenics and ASPDs. There was a famed patient that had gone through the program prior to my starting. Everyone called him Houdini because he was known to have crawled through the ceiling space of the locked unit he was on and popped out on another locked unit. Oh, God. This is
I used to call my dog a Houdini.
This is my nightmare. Well, he got readmitted to us eventually, but this time he had an abdominal wound from a recent surgery. During the few months he was with us, he was sent to the ED numerous times for self-injurious, attention-seeking behavior. Oh, that's so sad. One of those times, he had apparently been able to get a hold of a metal butter knife and decided the best place to start, sorry, best place to store the knife for re-entry into our correctional facility was his abdominal wound. Oh my God.
What? Whoa. Oh God.
So it's a quiet night shift and all of a sudden a panicked voice comes over our walkies calling for help on this patient's unit. And when we get there, the staff of the unit tell us that he came out of his room with a half a butter knife as a weapon. It turns out he had been lying in his bed for who knows how long, prying. Oh my God, this is graphic, you guys.
Oh God.
Prying against his rib cage to break this knife in half. Then he reaches into his abdominal wound, oh Jesus, and presents us,
I'm shivering,
with the other half of the butter knife.
Oh my Lord.
I don't know how much money you make, Aubrey, but it's not enough.
Yeah, it's not enough.
Wow. After the incident was controlled, we found out that when he re-entered the facility from the hospital earlier, he had gone through a metal detector, as is standard procedure coming into the correctional facility, and the detector went off, but staff couldn't find anything metal on him.
They didn't check the incision.
He was just like, okay, I guess you don't have anything metal on you, just let him go.
It made an error. Erroneous.
Who would think to check his wound for a weapon?
Erroneous!
This is just one of the very odd things he did to self-mutilate while at our facility. Normally, our patients spend years working through a program until they can be released to a group home setting where they can be monitored as they re-enter society. After all was said and done with this particular patient, he spent a few months with us and then was released home.
Whoa.
To live with his elderly grandmother.
Oh, no. Okay. I hope he and his grandmother are okay.
Oh, God. Entirely unheard of in our setting. And he has gone to be one of the oddest cases I have ever encountered in almost 10 years.
Wow.
Anyway, thanks for what you guys do.
Anywho.
Those of us in healthcare know that it's not just a job, it becomes your entire life. Oh God, that is so true.
Yes, it is.
So I absolutely love driving home from work, listening to you guys tell these stories, and ignore everyone that says the quote swearing isn't for me. Oh, I love
yes! that. Yes, Aubrey, go girl!
Those
yes!
people should hear the language in some of the intense situations we deal with on the daily. Aubrey from Minnesota. Aubrey!
Yay.
Wow! A butter knife and a wound.
Like, what are you going to encounter when you go to work tomorrow, Kate?
Not that.
Anything like Aubrey?
Not that.
Wow.
I don't encounter butter knives and abdominal surgical wounds. That's like for sure.
Yet.
Aubrey, thank you so much for your kind words.
Yes.
You definitely, whatever it is you're doing or did, you don't make enough money for that.
Nope. There is not enough money for that.
Also, thank you for saying that about the swearing, because, you know, I've gotten like once in a while I'll get like an email from someone who's just like real cranky and has like nothing else going on. I mean, I love getting constructive feedback, constructive criticism. Please bring it on, because we want to improve. We want to get better. But once in a while I'll get like an email from just some, you know, Karen who just really does not appreciate the swearing, And they say, you know, you guys are mothers and you swear in front of your... One person was like, I can't believe you swear in front of your children. And I'm like,
they're not in the basement.
To every one of our episodes, are our kids ever in the same room with us?
No. They're usually stomping on the floor upstairs or asleep. Yeah. Not even in the room.
The swearing
the
is...
The only one that would ever hear the swearing in this room is Molly or Sally.
And those are dogs,
And those are dogs. So if you hear us talking about Molly or Sally, they are canines.
And it's okay that we swear to our dogs.
I also think on some of the stuff that we get for reviews and things like that, I think I should just change my name to The Other Host.
I know we hear a lot about The Other Host.
I think that is my new, when I say, hey, everybody, it's Devin, it's now, hey, everybody, it's The Other Host.
And hey, it's the main host, which is not true. We are both equal parts of a co-host.
Yes.
And
it's just really funny when they go to write a review and then they talk about the other host.
We hear that constantly. It's really weird. The swearing in particular is a formatting choice we have made. We've made this choice.
And we've said, do what you must.
You know what? I've never worked with a coworker of any level, an LNA, a housekeeper, a physician, who doesn't like swear under their breath every once in a while. Like this podcast is meant to be a safe place, a cathartic experience for us and for you. Mm-hmm. It's an outlet. So it's not the Journal of American Medicine podcast review on, you know, kidney stones. That's not what this is. Nope. This is two bitches.
Shooting
the shit in the
basement.
With
no children around.
With no kids around. Just talking a storm. So anyway, that's my piece on the swearing. I think it's here to stay. We have toned it down a little bit, and we only drop the F-bomb when absolutely necessary. Devin's trying not to say
I was like,
into the microphone.
I wanted to be like, fuck.
I'm keeping that in there.
Anyway, dead silence.
Oh, Aubrey, that was a great story.
I gave her the eye contact. Like, am I going to do it? Am I going to do it? Because I'm thinking about it. Aubrey, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for sending that in. And I'm glad that nobody else got hurt except for belly wound guy.
So, like, does the kitchen now have to count their knives?
Yeah, I mean, I mean,
is it like an OR when you count all your instruments and your gauze? Anywho.
So, yeah, that was a great story. Thanks, Aubrey. We have another story here from somebody who did not include their name. Here it goes. So, I have been a clinic nurse for 12 years. I have worked with all ages, and being from a very small town, I have a great relationship with most of the patients I see on the regular. Okay, so I'm going to tell you of a visit that had me saying, well, I never heard of this before. So now I look back and see the funny side of it, but when it happened, I was a little grossed out by it. Oh, uh-oh. Boy. These are the best stories, though. Mm-hmm. I was working in the oncologist clinic, and I was working up a new patient. When I came to the GI questions, I asked my normal questions. Do you have any nausea? Do you have any vomiting? Do you have any diarrhea? Any issues with constipation? You know, the regular rundown. This gentleman proceeds to tell me that he has nausea in his penis.
Okay.
I was thinking, he didn't just say his penis hasn't had nausea. There's no way that just happened. So I start to run down of things he might have been confused about that I might have caused him to say this. I start simple. Do you have any issues urinating? Nope. Just nausea in my penis. Okay. So then the next question, is there any discomfort when you urinate? Nope. Just nausea in my penis, just the nausea. I was like, okay.
This person was alert and oriented.
Yes.
Right?
I don't know. I mean, I have as much information as you do at this moment.
All right, continue.
Now I was like, okay, now on to the STD questions. Sir, are you having any discharge from your penis? His answer didn't change. Nope, just nausea in my penis. I'm stumped now. So I say, sir.
Me too.
Please explain how the nausea feels. He states it starts under my testicles and it goes to my penis and it is just nausea.
Okay.
To do with that.
All right.
I said, okay, sir, well, I'm going to make a note of it in your chart, and the doctor will be able to see you shortly.
We'll continue to monitor.
The continue to monitor. I love that. I try to make a quick exit. I hear him saying, nurse, nurse, and I turn back with my nurse face on. I say, yes, sir, is there something else you need to tell me or something else you need
me
for?
Don't tell me his penis vomited.
He said, no, I just want to know if the doctor will give me something for the nausea in my penis.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
The poor guy, I feel bad because okay. It's like, what are you feeling that
okay,
you're equating
so
to nausea?
Something's wrong. And
something
he wants
is wrong.
Something.
And he doesn't, there's no other way to describe it. I replied,
did it
well,
get dizzy?
When the doctor comes in, you can talk with her about it. And I came out and my MD and NP take one look at me and can see I am at a loss for words. Then I relay the conversation I just had with a new patient. They were cracking up because they said it was hilarious that I continued to try to figure out what was wrong. And he was basically just being kind of a pervert. Oh, okay. I get it. Now I can laugh at myself because I was so naive, but I do believe that was the most penis has been said to me when I worked with a GYN in the past. Love your podcast, and I just thought I would share this story to make you laugh.
Okay, so nothing was actually wrong.
So the guy didn't actually have nausea in his penis. He was just being a weirdo.
He was being a freak. He's been a little too much.
I feel like that's a weird way to choose to be a weirdo. I mean, all weirdos are weird, I guess, but that's like an interesting choice. To be like, I have nausea in my penis.
I wonder if something that we gave him for the nausea in his penis would promote impotence.
Oh, maybe. If he's being kind of a creep about it, then
it's
yeah.
That's a good way to solve that.
And it sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you for the story, whoever you are.
We've
about
all
the
probably encountered nauseated a few creeps in our
penis.
Time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I hate the creeps. Mm-hmm. Because it makes you so uncomfortable, especially like
as... It's like
as...
we're trying to be a professional here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Like
we
I'm just trying
have to do and ask uncomfortable things.
Like you know that I'm here for like 12 hours, right? Like you know that. Why are you giving me a hard time? Like this is
about
the literal last thing I need to deal with right now. Mm-hmm. And do I have a face on that says yes? Please be a perv to me because, like, I feel like my resting bitch face is on 150% of the time.
Mine's on. Mine never goes off.
But that's a great way to keep yourself all business.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's where I'm at. You guys let me know how you do with creeps.
So I have a brief story.
Yes, go.
It's bringing me back to probably October, November of 2005.
Oh, that's a long ass way away.
Long ass time ago. There were these two girls that were like baby freshmen in nursing school. One of them had a sister who said, hey, you're a nurse now. You're learning nurse things. Why do I always have to poop when I take a shower?
What? I remember this.
So one girl looks over to her. Okay, we're talking about me and Kate, people. Anyway. Instead of talking to the third person, second person, whatever. So I look over at Kate and I'm like, how are we going to answer this? So fine. I type on my computer. Oh my gosh. You have hydrating defecation. You need to see a doctor.
It's a clinically documented syndrome.
You have to help. You have to get help.
You have to get help for this.
That was my first diagnosis.
Oh, good job.
And considering I'm an RN, I don't diagnose, but I diagnosed
it was
her.
It was also her only diagnosis.
My only diagnosis that I've ever done.
Oh my God, you
hydrating
guys.
Hydrating defecation.
Yes.
That one has defecation. Stood the test of times.
I feel like that needs an ICD-10 code. Oh my God. I've got one more.
Here we
I've
go.
Got one more listener story. Ooh, this one's kind of like longish too. You know what? It looks as though this might be a two stories in one type of situation.
Oh, you go.
So that's amazeballs.
Don't mind my yawn.
And thank you. Do I know who wrote this? I don't think I do.
Mystery.
Okay. Love the show. It's exactly what I was looking for in a true crime podcast.
Me too.
I have a quick story about myself and then a story about one of my patients. You can use the other one for another episode if you want. Here we go.
Let's do this.
Let's just do it all at once. We're doing it. I listened to the episode about Dr. Howard Schneider.
And I had something similar
happen to me as a kid.
Oh. Oh.
Not abusive, but certainly fraudulent. My mom took me to the dentist in the basement of the Montgomery ward, and he told my mom I had cavities in every one of my adult teeth.
What?
Now, this was believable because I didn't brush my teeth, and I had a tooth that I could literally stick the tip of my pinky finger into.
Oh, no.
So my mom proceeded to take me in for what seemed like weekly appointments as he filled my, quote, cavities with silver. One day, we get there to have my front teeth filled. I was dreading this because I was going to have noticeable silver front teeth. Oh, Jesus, poor kid. Oh. I go in to sit down, and there is a new dentist there. This dentist isn't actually new. It is the dentist that used to work there, but he had retired. He tells me and my mom that my front teeth don't have cavities. And in fact, none of my teeth had cavities, except for the one I could stick my finger into, which needed a root canal. In fact, the retired dentist did my root canal, and then he retired again. Apparently, the prior dentist was committing insurance fraud by claiming people had cavities and then filling them.
Ugh.
When you mentioned that Schneider would pull the teeth and bill again for the same tooth, I realized how lucky I was that my dentist was caught. Now, as an adult,
absolutely,
I have had so many issues. The silver has cracked my teeth and has actually caused me to have cavities. I have a really good dentist now that has helped me take out the silver and replace it with enamel, and depending on the damage, even some crowns. My mom never took legal action, but I wish she did. I am so lucky he didn't mess up my front teeth.
Wow.
Ugh.
Wow. Ugh. I'm sorry that you went through that. That's awful.
How terrible is that? My gosh. How traumatic.
Very traumatic.
How do you, like, trust in the medical system after that?
Ugh. After anything we've talked about.
Oh, I know. I think we've, like, probably really done some damage, but
we're trying to rebuild.
We are trying to rebuild. Also, as another disclaimer, 99.9999% of healthcare workers are out there just going to work, trying to help people and do good things.
Yes.
We only talk about the anomalies.
The 0.0000001.
Yeah. Yes.
Because there's a lot of us out there.
Exactly. Okay, so my next story is about a patient of mine. I am an oncology nurse. I worked bedside for 3 years, and now I work from home as a case manager for a large insurance company. I worked on an oncology med-surg and tele floor. This particular patient was on our floor for a while, and I don't remember why she was there. But because she was there a long time, I assume she had a type of blood cancer. Anyway, she was an elderly Native American lady. She was bedbound and very sweet. Literally. She was a diabetic, and every time her glucose was checked, it was always high 200s. I see what you did there. Her family would bring her snacks, and of course, it was her hard candy. You know that grandma hard candy? The ribbon candy, the strawberry ones with the red and green wrappers and peppermints. I love those strawberry ones. My grandma had them all the time. Those were so good.
My grandparents had the Werther's.
Oh, the Werther's original.
The Werther's, yeah.
Those are good. Still good. She had all of that type of expired candy on her bedside table, and we were not allowed to touch it. We would sneak it away from her, but she would always manage to get it out and hide it from us. We would turn her every 2 hours and find candy stuck to her back.
That's going to be me.
Stuck to her back.
That's going to be me.
Legs, you name it. She had it stuck to her. This is kind of adorable. She began to decline, and she was moved to a room closer to the nurse's station. When her time was approaching, her family asked if they could do a ceremony in the room, and of course, we obliged. They did their ceremony, and she passed a few days later. The psych patients and withdrawal patients that were in the room after that either reported hearing Native American chanting,
whoa,
or one asked if we could cover the mirror because he saw a Native American lady in the mirror.
Oh, how cool.
What?
That's wild.
Oh my God. That's so cool. She was one of those people that made the meanest doctor in the hospital cry when she passed away.
Wow.
Oh my God. She sounds like she was the coolest. We ended up naming our candy drawer after her. Aww. It was the insert patient name memorial candy drawer. Oh, aww, how sweet. These were both so long, so feel free to split them up if you need to. Don't say my last name. Keep up the good work, ladies. I don't have either name for you, so.
Good.
Oh, my God.
You're secure.
Dude, those stories were bonkers.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. That Native American lady in the mirror, though, got me. Like, ooh, yeah, that's so cool.
And hearing the chants.
Yes, the chants. That is so neat.
Thank you for those stories, guys.
Oh, my God. This was
so
cool.
We love these. We love hearing about everybody's experiences. We all know we got them.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We all have them.
100%.
It's awesome.
Yep.
I love that.
Me, too. Those are our tales for the day.
The tales for the day.
We want more.
Yes, let's keep it going.
Keep it going. Keep emailing. Don't email us about the swearing. We're not going to stop swearing, okay?
Email she said us... that sentence with her eyes closed, folks, so she means it.
I mean it. It's not going anywhere. We minimized it. That's the best we can do.
So I think this about wraps up season 2.
Oh, man.
And if you want to know what is going on and still hear from us, by the time we return in January, become a Patreon, because when we shut the mics off right now, we are about to shoot something for our Patreon. So if the show's not over, please join our family.
The show must go on, baby.
It must go on.
Hell yeah.
If you want to keep seeing us and listening and seeing what we got going on, you can check us out on Instagram at MedCrimes Podcast.
You can tweet at us at MedCrimes PC.
You can search for us on Facebook at MedCrimes Podcast.
If you wish to become a Patreon, you will get A, your own woodland / mythological character, which is awesome.
That's a given.
B, you get the play-by-play on what's happening with us during the break. You get all sorts of, you know, crap. Also,
you get episodes early and ad-free.
Early and ad-free. And a bunch of you guys just got free t-shirts. So, hey, what's up?
Nice, nice, nice.
We love you guys.
Thank you. Stay safe out there. Have a good Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. See you in January.
See you in January.
Bye.